Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk on KMUN. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
You do have your apron on. She actually does have her apron on. Not like sometimes the fibby thing, but
the
no.
The fibby thing. Bald face lies. Apron lies. Well, this apron, it's kind of an orange color, and it's pretty ratty, but I got it when I was working at the spice store, you know?
Yes.
And the reason I bought this, I was at, you know, some kitchen store. It's because the color is called spice, and I'm like, oh, I have to have that.
And you can sprinkle turmeric at will, and yes, no yes. one will ever know.
Yes.
It's very nice.
My middle name is Cinnamon.
It is not.
Aww. Busted.
Happy summer, Linda.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I had a pretty eventful, like, leaving the house this morning. So I left the house, and I was apparently the first one to leave the house. So because you said happy summer, it just sort of feels a little bit like fall is on the way.
Yes.
And the reason is I just went through all the spider webs, you know, because I was the first one to leave the house. And I really had a feeling that if I just weighed a little bit less, or I was maybe like not quite as strong, that I might have been breakfast. I was just really something. And it's not that way till fall, you know, when
yeah.
they're all.
I've got trees turning already.
Yeah. We're putting food away for winter and you'd be perfect. You know, that's kind of what it felt like. And then, so then I got through all the spiders, like, because they attached to the house. And then, I don't know, they attached like 2 acres away because, I don't know, maybe they've like bonded with AI and gotten superpowers or something. I don't know what's going on. But then I got down to the walkway, and we have one of those motion detector deer sprinklers, you know?
Oh.
So you might notice that my back is far damper than my front. And I was just looking through my glasses, and I was trying to figure out, because I left the house and my glasses were very clean, you know? But the sprinkler like hit the inside of them from behind. So I hadn't even gotten in my car, and I'd had an adventure. I'm worried about turning the oven on today. It'll just blow up.
Oh, it's Monday.
Yes.
You're having a Monday.
Oh, yes.
You're having a classic Monday.
There you go. You are so right.
So, whether or not you turn your oven on, what have you been cooking lately? Well,
no, I did turn my oven on. I think I've turned it on twice in the last millennium. No. Okay. But I made something fabulous, and it's not that different. You know how we both have made that Ina Garten recipe, Emily's English potatoes.
Yes.
So they're really good, and they just take a little time, and they create a lot of dishes. So both of those things can, like, really, like, make you not make them. But
yeah, I never make them because of those
things. But when you make them, they're delicious. So
yeah.
The recipe is you cube up some potatoes, a certain size, boil them, and then rough them, you know, drain them, rough them up in a pan, like you shake them in a pan with a lid so that they're rough, and then you dry them out or put them in the refrigerator, and then you put oil on a baking sheet, heat it up really hot in the oven, and then when it and the pan are really hot, put the potatoes in there, and then you flip them maybe 2-3 times while they're roasting in the oven, and they're delicious. But anyway, I did it in duck fat.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was. I think of never doing that before. It was extraordinary.
It was so good.
Wow.
That duck fat and potatoes.
Yeah. You know, I can't cook a goose to save my life. They always turn out horribly dry. I can't. I have never cooked a goose that was even edible. But I have a neighbor who, when he like shoots a goose, I don't know, like he's angry and he just blows a bunch of parts off, he always gives it to me. Yay, thank you. But the thing is, I try again to cook an edible goose and I fail, but I put a bunch of potatoes underneath it. And goose fat is so much like potato fat.
Yeah.
And so they're really good. So if anybody ever gives you a partial goose, like if you know the same guy I do.
Render it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, goose fat, duck fat, same.
Yeah, so delicious.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is a luxury.
Yeah, definitely. So what's new with you,
well,
cooking-wise?
I tried a new recipe out of sheer boredom.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I've said before that when I try a new recipe, I usually try to follow it as written the first time through.
Yeah.
Just to see if I need to tweak something. And I really like liked this recipe.
And really?
The main thing about it that I liked was the sauce. And it's just pork chops. My default sauce for pork chops would be like a brown sugar, mustard, vinegar kind of thing, glaze. And this was that, but instead of the mustard, it had white miso, and it really,
oh, really?
So good. So it was just 3 tablespoons of light brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, a tablespoon and a half of white miso, and then a couple tablespoons of water to just be able to blend it. And it makes a caramel sauce, really.
That sounds so good, though, because sometimes the mustard is just a little too much for me. Same thing in dressing. Sometimes I just don't want mustard.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes me ask you what you would use as an emulsifier if you didn't use mustard in a dressing. Or do you just give it a shake?
You know, no. Sometimes, for some reason, balsamic sometimes works a little bit.
Yeah.
So does jam.
Yes.
So does an egg yolk.
There's,
and I know people kind of shy away from egg yolks, but I worked quite a while in a French restaurant, and we make a lot of dressings with egg yolks
in
them.
Yeah, I like it with egg yolks.
And so that's kind of my go-to.
That's egg yolk in a dressing is kind of like duck fat with a potato. And that it's just really luxe.
Well, it's so funny that we both made like pretty regular recipes and we changed one thing. I changed to duck fat and you changed to miso and that we had something really great. That's so cool.
I just loved this. I did it with pork chops and apples.
Okay.
And those were just for, I've decided to go back to the word fried. I know fried, sauteed, I know. But there are a lot of advantages about just saying fried. And one of them is that I grew up with that, and so it comes naturally to me. And the other is that you don't need the little accent aigu, whatever it is.
Where is that on my computer?
Yeah, right. It was just fried pork chops, and I didn't have the bone-in with a nice fat cap like the recipe called for. I just had some boneless loin chops, but it worked great. And I thought to myself as I was making it that this particular caramel sauce would be good on so many things. I mean, I think that it would be a great thing to do if you had a pork tenderloin. I think that you could use it in some vegetable dishes. It's just really good.
Nice.
I recommend it. And also, I wanted to say that once in a while you and I say something very specific about a recipe that we like I just gave the amounts of that. And it's almost impossible to be ready to take a note.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to remind people that the podcasts of the 9:30 to 10 slot, all of our community affairs shows, of which Food Talk is one, are online and archived. So if you hear something about if you hear Linda give you a tip about something and you can't remember the details, you can go to KMUN.org and click on podcasts and scroll down to Food Talk and listen to it.
Like, don't bake in your bathrobe.
Yeah, don't forget that. You don't need a note. Mental note is good enough on that one.
Well, speaking of stuff breaking, I made a peanut sauce, you know, like a spicy peanut sauce I made some salad rolls and it broke.
I never heard of that.
I never even knew it was possible.
No.
So what I think I did is I heated it too fast, but I didn't know that that was a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've always heated it slow in the past. Maybe it's because I was doing other stuff and I didn't want it to like blah, 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 in the pan. But yeah, I think I heated it too fast because it happened in the heating process and then it was unfixable.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I didn't have any more coconut milk. And so, and that's why I didn't make it again. But so my peanut sauce is equal parts peanut butter and coconut milk, and then hoisin sauce, some sambal.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't, you know, sambal, it's a Asian chili paste, hasn't been available for a year. It's part of that whole sriracha pepper shortage thing that's going on. And so finally I found like more than a gallon at the restaurant supply store. So I have so much. Anyway, poor Dale. But yeah, it broke and I tried immersion blending. I tried, you know, mixing. It just nothing would fix it. More hoisin, nothing would fix it.
Wow.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So it was just oily. It still tasted good, but it was just ugly.
Yeah. That's really interesting to know. I didn't know you could break a peanut sauce.
Yeah, me either. I think more coconut milk would have fixed it, but I just didn't have any more.
Yeah.
And then I had dairy cream, but I didn't want to add that because I thought it would go bad in a couple of days. And I didn't, I don't know. I made a bunch. I wanted it to keep for a while.
Yeah.
So it's broken.
Oh. So now you have a big back stock of broken peanut sauce.
Woo-hoo, come on over, everybody.
the one time that being really prepared for the future didn't work out that well. Oh.
Hey, what do you think of this trend that's going around of putting french fries in everything?
Oh, you know what? I was bored with it the first time I heard it. But also, I'm not a big French fry person.
Yeah.
I really appreciate them when I have them at a restaurant or something, mm-hmm. and they're good and they're the
hot.
Way that I
yeah.
like them.
Yeah.
But I don't make them at home. And I should say that with a caveat, because recently I made them thinking that they would be the perfect side for something I was making for dinner for Tom, and they weren't. And I remembered in the process of that there's a reason why I don't make them, because
they're a lot of work
and they're oil intensive, and that mm-hmm. means that they're mess intensive,
and oil is really expensive now. I mean, yeah. it's gone up like threefold since COVID.
Yeah. And I know that people are crazy about their air fryers, and that people claim to make fabulous fries in their air fryers, and I believe them that mm-hmm. they do, but I don't have an air fryer, and I'm not looking for one.
Mm-mm.
So because french fries would not be enough of a reason for me to give counter space to an air fryer.
No. Well, Dale and I went out for a couple meals, just casual meals, and one he had a steak salad, but it came with a bunch of french fries on top.
Oh,
never heard of that. And it wasn't pleasant because the french fries soaked up the dressing, and then they're hot and they're sitting on lettuce. So the lettuce, it was okay. It wasn't like destroyed or anything, but it just certainly wasn't as good as it should be. And then the fries are cold and damp because they're sitting on lettuce, a lot of lettuce, not like the lettuce on a hamburger, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a big pile of lettuce. And then the other one was a gyro sandwich, and it was just such a surprise. And we took the sandwiches to go, which probably was a mistake, because then the driving home time, the fries were in the sandwich and they just sucked up all the tzatziki. And so they were cold and damp.
Yeah.
And just not what you want a fry to be, you know.
Yeah. Not necessary to put fries on everything.
No.
Because it's very faddish right now, I think that it will fade.
Well, and it just seemed like something that was like on TikTok, which I have never actually looked at, but but not like in little teeny tiny Astoria. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just surprised. And you know how like when you're looking at a menu, if you see something like steak salad or gyro or like Reuben, you don't look any further. You don't read like, you know, oh, what? It has no polys in it. What is cactus doing in my steak salad? You know, you just don't read any further, you know.
Yeah.
And then if there is some surprise, you are surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, everybody, cut it out, would you?
Cut it out.
give us our fries on the side. We like our fries on the side.
Well, I think that when I go to restaurants, I'm going to be more careful to read the menu.
Yeah.
And then just, it would be so easy to say, just, I don't want any fries on that, please. And
hold
then
the
it would
fries.
Then it would be just, you know, good, you know.
Yeah.
That's a personal preference thing. That's
yeah,
all.
That's true. That is true about food and art and probably life. But personal preference is the way that we judge everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course, yeah.
So
that's why it's so fun to like to cook rather than to think of it as a chore, because you get to make what you like.
Yes.
And that's really selfish, but it's just true.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I think that you and I both try new stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, I know I don't like liver and Dale does, but I'm just not going to make it. I'm just not going to.
Sorry, Dale.
I know. Poor Dale.
I want to take a quick second, remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. Thanks to both of those fine organizations. And don't forget to check out KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org, where you will find wonders await you.
So Speaking of the spice store.
Yes.
I used to work there not decades ago, but years ago. And do you remember when vanilla suddenly became scarce? Yes. So it was totally Tom and Pat there. They were, you know, because they were dealing with wholesalers, they were on top of that. And they told me, and they were right, you know, vanilla was scarce because of weather affecting crops for 3 years in a row. And it went up sixfold in price, which is really a lot, you know. So anyway, then do you remember when there was that maple syrup shortage thing that I was talking about? Yeah, I was completely wrong. I could not have been wronger.
I don't remember that. There wasn't a shortage, was there?
Right. They were saying that there was going to be, but I was just wrong. So I think I read it on the internet, and we all know about the internet.
Yeah.
But it didn't go up a penny, and it was always on the shelves. I was just, I was completely wrong. But there was an article in the New York Times yesterday morning.
Yes, I read it.
About vanilla. And vanilla, we've known this forever. Vanilla, their pollinators are extinct, so it all has to be hand-pollinated. Really only grows in three places. It grows in a really super narrow band around the globe. I think it's between like 21 and 22 parallel. I mean, it's super narrow. It has to be someplace where there's seasons, where there's wind and dark part of the year. It's just so particular. But what they're saying now is that they believe that because of global warming, that narrow band where they grow is changing its ecosystem, and they fear that it will become extinct. And so what I'm worried is, I mean, that sounds very plausible, you know, that they could be having trouble with that. But what I worry is that that article is going to create like a run on vanilla.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, the odds are huge.
Yeah. So I just wanted to tell those of you out there that use vanilla and bake that maybe you might want to get some sooner than later. And really, that's how a run on vanilla is created.
Yes. That's right.
By me.
So are you? I know. Thank you, Linda.
For the seven of you. No. Okay. But I mean, I just wanted to say that because... vanilla is just such a pervasive thing in baking. I just can't imagine not having it, you know.
And baking is actually a small part of the way that vanilla is used around the world. That's one of the things about that article that really struck me, was that worldwide there's a fascination with vanilla, and it's not just
American baking or anything like that.
It's not just food.
And in fact, the article was under some weird, like it was in the category of candles and scents. Yeah. And so it was about vanilla smelling candles. It wasn't even about baking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know. I think that over time things change all the time. You know, things come and go, mm-hmm. Available to us, mm-hmm. As humans. And it just happens over time, but it seems like everything's kind of speeding up now.
Yeah, yeah.
That global warming is really making the end game for certain things come faster.
Yeah. So. Well, so speaking of pastry, I mean vanilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. The segues are iffy today.
I know. I'm trying to up my pastry game. And so I made something I'd never made before.
What?
It's a crémeux, C-R-E. Accent aigu, M-E-U-X, so a chocolate crémeux. And so it's in that whole like mousse, ganache, custard type family thing, but I really liked it. So essentially you make a chocolate custard is pretty much what it is, but then you hit it with an immersion blender.
Uh-huh.
And then it just gets like smoother and fluffier, not a mousse, but just fluffier. And then it's a thing that people will... put in pastries, but more often because it's pipeable, like pipe in pretty ribbons on top, like ribbon candy, you know, on top of pastries. And I really liked it. I'd never made it before, but I think, I don't know. I think that it's something I'll make again for sure.
What are the ingredients then that make it different from pudding or mousse?
Nothing, because that's the thing about so much baking.
Yeah.
You know, flour, water, salt, yeast. How many things can you make with that?
Right.
But it's, I'll say the recipe, 250 grams of heavy cream, 250 grams of milk. I used whole milk. 100 grams of egg yolks, 50 grams of sugar, and 260 grams of dark chocolate. So you just do it like a custard. You bring the milk to a simmer, temper in the yolks, and then you return it to a saucepan and get it to between 82 and 84 degrees Celsius, and then pour it over the chocolate, just like you would with the custard. Let it sit a bit, mix it up, but then you hit it with an immersion blender and just get it extremely smooth, and then cover it with plastic film and refrigerate it about 4 hours.
You know, it like so many things in cooking, technique is the difference.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Because think of how many things you make with those ingredients, you know. Pretty much all the things I mentioned before, except ganache, no eggs.
Yum.
Did you know there's a new farmer's market?
No, where?
Yeah, yeah. So it's in that ball field that's over by Safeway, you know? It's kind of between Safeway and Gino's Pizza.
Okay.
Yeah, so it sounds a lot like the old River People Market.
We're talking Astoria, everybody.
Yeah, Astoria, sorry. It sounds like the old River People Market because it's only food, it's only local things and local makers. And by makers, I don't mean like Jesus candles or earrings. It's like, you know, there's a couple bakers. But it sounds really good. It's this, okay, so it's Thursdays from 2 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
And I talked to the market manager and she said she was starting it hoping to create like a time slot for people who couldn't get to the Sunday market.
Okay, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, so 2 to 7. And then she doesn't open it earlier than 2. Like you can't go in before 2, kind of how the River People Market used to be.
Uh-huh.
And it's just lots of local stuff. There's peaches and there's a landscape guy. There's eggs. There's mushrooms. There's a fishmonger from Ilwaco. And they have live music, and there's parking, and there's even a bathroom.
Wow.
You can bring your critter. It just has to behave.
Yeah.
She says you can bring your children or your dogs. They just have to be on leashes.
I'm all for more farmers markets, more access to local food.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful, and this is the season.
Yeah.
There's markets every week. Around our end of the river on both sides. It's really lovely. Really lovely.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think check your local farmer's market, whatever your area farmer's market is. When you go, take a look and see KMUN is having tables at a lot of farmer's markets.
Oh, really?
This summer. And they are going to be manned by, and don't get excited about the fact that I say manned instead of human.
No need to write letters.
Don't, because you're not going to change my mind about that word usage.
We're set in our ways.
We are.
If nothing else.
We're old. Give it a break. Anyway, by programmers and staff and volunteers, and it's a good chance to say hey and put a face to the voice and... we'd love to see you. So, farmers markets, go shop and stop by the KMUN table.
Yes. I made your corn salsa.
You did?
Yeah.
So good.
I haven't done, I don't know what. What is my problem? Do I have like a brain tumor? I haven't used a lot of corn this year.
I haven't had a lot of good corn this year.
Yeah.
I got to say, I am not excited about corn this year. And I've just... Up until last night, I've only done corn on the cob, and it hasn't been great. And I blame part of that on me because I always start a little too early, hoping it's going to be good, and then later it gets great. But it hasn't gotten great, at least not in the corn that I've bought. And last night, I decided to take the last 3 ears of corn I had in the fridge and just take the corn off the cob and do like a creamed corn on the stovetop.
Okay.
And I got to say... when I do that with frozen corn, it's so much better.
Yeah, probably because it's picked at the peak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and you never know how when it was picked when you get it, unless you're buying it at a farmer's market and they harvested it within 24 hours.
Yeah.
But then also if it sits in my fridge for 24 hours again, then...
Gets starchy.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know how you can, like, elevate things?
Yes.
I don't know if that's, but one thing I really like to do is like a really, really good taco dinner.
Oh.
So what I'll do is I'll buy some flat iron steaks and I'll grill them on the grill and then I slice them up and then I use naan bread for the tacos.
Okay.
And then I make.
That would be better.
Yeah. Well, that's how I elevate it.
Okay.
And I don't toast, but I warm up and get just little grill marks on the naan on the grill too. Just until it's soft, not until it's crunchy and hard. And so then I make your corn salsa, and I make your mango salsa. I make a pico de gallo, and then a green tomatillo and jalapeno sauce.
Uh-huh,
you know,
like a verde.
Yeah, exactly. And then just regular tomato salsa that's not pico de gallo.
I love that you have an entire toppings
bar.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just it's it's really, it just seems like a luxury when you have it. But it's nice to sit outside and all the, you know, salsas are fresh and delicious and steak is good.
Yeah, steak is good.
But that's...
I made sort of weird combo of tacos, soft tacos and fajitas last night, in that I sauteed some veg. But I like them better at a restaurant for some reason. But
yeah.
I think it might be the naan. I think that might be the difference. Okay. I love good soft tortillas in a classic Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. Mexican restaurant.
When they make them fresh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to buy a package of tortillas, I'm always disappointed a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Idea. And you think, what would you rather bite into? Like, if you're just eating at a plane, a piece of naan or a flour tortilla. For me, it's the naan.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. And I also think that it is, when you have leftover corn salsa and mango salsa, you can toss those into a pasta salad, and they're great.
Oh, what a great idea.
Leftover great. Yeah.
We just eat them.
Just eat them. Just get a spoon and a bowl. Really, mango salsa. I haven't made any this year.
Oh, so good.
I better get off the stick.
Off
really.
The salsa stick.
Yeah.
Should we tell people what we do every year about the watermelon?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So we, Marianne and I, really like fennel salt on watermelon and lime. It's delicious. So what you do is you get some fennel seeds and you toast them in a dry skillet. That you have to do. Otherwise, the fennel is super woody. It's not like crunchy. And then you grind it up. You can use a mortar and pestle, or you can use a any kind of grinder you have. But you just don't grind it to a powder. It's kind of like cracked pepper. Mix it with flake salt, like Maldon salt or kosher salt. Maybe like one part fennel to two part salts about.
Yeah.
And then you sprinkle it on your cut watermelon, and then you hit it with a squirt of lime juice.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It talk about elevating.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
That's well, for sure.
And we talk about it every year. We're just like a broken record. But man, if there's just one more, if there's eight of you listening out there instead of seven and you do it, it's so delicious. It's such an easy thing to do. And if you try to buy fennel salt, like over the internet, I don't know why, but it is so ridiculously expensive.
I don't know why it's so expensive.
It's a two-digit number that doesn't start with one, you know?
Yeah.
It's so much money. But yeah, just make it. Yeah. Just toast the fennel.
I did I made some recently, and I discovered in the process that my fennel seed I need fresh.
Okay.
It was too old, and it didn't have much flavor.
Okay.
So that's the only caveat I would say, is if your fennel salt has been sitting around for months, ignored by you, you might want to get some new. But it was really, really good. It's always good.
Yeah, it's such a treat.
It's good on watermelon. It's good on cantaloupe. Any melon. Yeah.
I don't like muskmelon. I'm not putting it. I'm not wasting it on that.
It makes me think of a country western song called "I Ain't Wasting Good Whiskey on You." And that's what we think about muskmelon.
Yeah. So there.
We're out of time.
Aww.
I know, it's so discouraging. But the good news is that John Stevenson is here and ready to bring Lost Highways our way as soon as we get out of the way.
With his little doggy.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Do you want to sing us out?
Sure. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home. Yay, happy Monday. I wonder what'll happen on my way home.
Oh my gosh. We can't wait to hear. So we'll see you in 2 weeks, everybody. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Marianne. So nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.